I'm Cadence, and I'm going to be talking about something called Selah. So music is a really big part of my life. My name's Cadence, which means rhythm, and my dad's one of the worship directors in the Lighthouse. And so at CIY, we sing before each sermon, and there's actually a book of songs in the Bible, which is the Psalms. And after Psalms, you might see this little word, Selah. It's up there. And a lot of people think that it was to tell the musicians to take a break from singing. And so at CIY, we turned it into an acronym, which was stop, exhale, lean in, ask, and help. And so just imagine you're in this room and you've just had like an amazing, you screamed your lungs out praising the Lord, and then just this room of hundreds of teenagers just silent, stopping. It was amazing. You could feel the power in the room. You could feel people coming to Christ. And so it's just amazing. So I'm going to ask y'all to do it with me. But first, every Sunday we take communion. So those who are serving communion can go get ready. And then I'm just going to ask everyone to stop. Stop thinking about what you're going to make for dinner, or stop texting on your phone, and close your eyes. Take a deep breath and just exhale. I'm going to ask you to lean in. Hold your hands out like you're receiving a present. And then just ask God what He wants you to do for the kingdom today. And then I want you to hear Him. Hear Him telling you what you need.
So, on the second day of CIY, I threw a rock. Now, it sounds kind of funny, but it was an action with a meaning. It was an action that was a commitment, and it meant you were dedicating yourself to God. The stone was a declaration to everyone in that room, that teen-filled, packed room, that you're dedicating yourself to God, to Christ. That night, I felt God touch me. And I felt Him call me to do His good work. I didn't know what it was at first that night, but I heard Him throughout the week. I heard first with the kingdom marker card, and I felt that was the good way to first start. And then later, we heard about this thing called Engage. It's a program run by CIY Move that basically sets it up and helps it to where you can go on mission trips to different countries. And I could hear in that moment that that's something I wanted to do, something that I wanted to participate in. And feeling that was an indescribable feeling. The closest word to be able to describe it would be alive. I could feel God's presence around me, and I just spoke, saying, go do the work I set out for you. Follow my path. I know it sounds bad, but I've never really felt like I had reason to go to church. I'd felt hollow. I felt my worship was empty. However, since that night, I didn't feel like that. When I sang the songs, I meant it. When I heard prayers, I felt deeper meaning than surface level words. What was broken was renewed.
You know, we talk a lot in youth ministry about this idea of the camp high, right? That you go to camp and you get all, you know, filled with this emotion, and then you come back. But look, I've done this long enough to know that these things that you're hearing these students say and talk about are not just a camp high, right? Like we come back and emotion fades, and you know, there's no doubt that the music here is a little quieter than we actually had screamo worship at one point, which was It's interesting. If you're a teenager, you don't get it, but whatever. That's cool. But I can tell you that these commitments that are made at these camps go way beyond camp. You know, one of the things we talked about on this trip was names. Now, names are important. And I'm going to let Aria tell you a little bit about that.
So this past week, as you all know, the youth group attended CIY, which stands for Christ in Youth. And so after, I think, maybe the first or second night, we were all sitting around at our youth group, I guess kind of like a Bible study, but we were all sitting around and just sharing our goals for the week. And I think a huge goal for me was personally to try to find my identity in God. And that's something that I really have struggled with a lot lately. You know, it's just with schoolwork, you find your identity in your grades. You find your identity in the work you do and the people you're with. But personally for me, I really, this week, was trying to, you know, find my identity in God. So I think that really relates to Peter, because before he met Jesus, he was just a plain fisherman on the water with his brother Andrew. And they were just trying to fish, trying to find food, trying to, you know, make a living. And then this man walks up. And they're like, okay, so there's a man. And he says, Peter, or he says, Simon, come follow me. And he's like, how does this guy know my name? And so he says, trust me. And he makes their baskets overflow with fish. And before Peter's name was Simon, and Jesus calls him by name, and he says, I'm going to call you Cephas, which is Aramaic, or Peter in Greek, and this means rock. Which I think rock for me stands for Peter, you're going to be my rock. You're going to be the rock that I build my kingdom on. I'm going to build my discipleship on you. And I think that you can really relate that to Jesus' analogy of the foolish man building his house on sand and the wise man building his house on rock. So before, his name was Simon, and this really was just, you know, Simon as a fisherman, Simon finding his identity in fishing and, just making a living off of fishing and his sinful ways. But once Jesus, appeared in his life, he changed his name to Peter. So that gave him his new identity in Christ. And so Peter went on to be his main disciple and to go on and preach so much that even that the people of Rome crucified him, just like Jesus. Except even Peter felt that he wasn't worthy enough of the crucifixion of Jesus, so he decided he was going to be crucified upside down. And I think that really just touched me, you know, because during the week we all got these cards, which our small group leaders wrote for us and gave us new names. And mine was kind of silly. It's De Poopage, which is really just a bunch of different adjectives combined together into one name, which is deep, goofy, and encouraging. And I really was, you know, touched by that, because I really do try to, you know, be encouraging to other people. And I know, like, I love being goofy. So you know, Peter, the story of Peter really touched my heart. And I just have one question for y'all. Will you let God change your name?
You know, I feel like I need to explain this name change thing now. It's interesting working with high school students, because I remember being a high school student and going through this phase of trying to figure out, like, what is my identity? Who am I? Whose am I? Right? And for us as leaders, this whole name change thing was really kind of cool, because it was kind of almost like a commission that we were able to give these students and say, here's what I see in you. Here's what I think is valuable about you, and here's what God thinks is valuable about you. And we did that even with the goofy name of Dapoofage. Ask your kids about the names. You'll enjoy them, I'm sure. But there's more to Peter's story, right? It's not just a name change. There's something that comes after that. There's an "and then" moment. So Reed, why don't you share a little bit with us?
So for those of you playing along at home, we're going to be in John 21, 15 through 17. So this is Peter affirming his love for Jesus. So it says, "After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' 'Yes, Lord,' Peter replied, 'you know I love you.' 'Then feed my lambs,' Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' 'Yes, Lord,' Peter said, 'you know I love you.' 'Then take care of my sheep,' Jesus said. A third time he asked him, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, 'Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you.'" So, upon reading this the first time, I didn't get it. Because, like, first time, okay, this makes sense. Because you got to remember, before this, Peter denied Jesus, or being with Jesus before the crucifixion. So, one time, I totally get, "Do you love me?" Yeah. I need a little bit of redemption for what I did. I get that. Second time, it's kind of like making sure, like, are you going to believe this? Because before Peter denies Jesus, he tells Jesus, "Lord, I've given my life for you." So he says this, then denies him three times. So I would need a little bit of reassurance on that. But they ask him a third time, "Peter, do you love me?" And that's when it kind of hit me. It's like, Peter denies Jesus three times, so now he affirms Jesus three times. So first of all, that's really cool. Because we hear about, like, redemption, forgiveness, but, okay, so I'm kind of, like, really into symbols and stuff. But, like, so Peter's redemption comes in the form of the same sort of questions that he was asked before. Because before he denies Jesus and denies, even knowing him, he says, "No, I'm not with that man. I don't know who he is. Never seen him before in my life." Now he's saying, "Yes, Lord, I know who you are, and I know you're God." That's cool. But there's another thing in here that's a little scary, because he says, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Simon, son of John. Jesus is breaking out the middle name. You know he's in trouble. Because as Ari was talking about, Simon was given a new name. He was Peter. He's supposed to be the rock of the church. But Jesus went back to Simon. And that's got to mean something. Because I can't imagine that he forgot what he's calling him now. Because Peter was supposed to be the rock of the church. And by denying Jesus, it's not a great foundation. So this is not only redemption for his actions, this is reinstating him as the rock of the church. Like, because you were supposed to die to your old self, and that's how you got the new name, so you went back to your old ways, so you get a second shot. You can be Peter still, but you gotta go through this first. In that moment, he was Simon. And I think we kind of I'll get that way, or at least I'm going to project that onto you. I like reading the Bible and going, "What idiots?" Because Peter, like, walked around with Jesus, right? Like, he knew the dude. He saw him perform miracles. And I'm thinking, okay, if I was there, I would, yeah, like, I'm with Jesus. That's cool. I know what he can do. I was there. So come on, Peter, what are you doing? So I'm thinking, like, yeah, like, I'd give my life for him. I say that in the pretty comfortable life I have. You know, the chances of me being crucified upside down are slim to none. So I can pretty comfortably say, like, yeah, like, I'd give my life for you without having to confront that like Peter did. The other part of that is, I say, like, yeah, if I was there, I would believe. You know, everything would be easier if I was there. Except when Jesus was on this earth, there was still a good number of people that didn't believe it. And Jesus is very alive in our lives today, and we still struggle with it. So even the physical presence didn't help. So then the other part of this is Jesus tells them, then feed my lambs, then take care of my sheep. Before, and I'm going to believe the guy, but Peter says, Jesus, I will die for you. I'm going to choose to believe that. Jesus, I will die for you. But the thing is, Jesus didn't want him to die. He wanted him to take care of his sheep. You can't be the rock of the church and be a dead. So, I want to say be a martyr or be dead. And they just... Okay, yeah. But you can't be a martyr. So you can't be dead. That's one. Yeah. Can't be dead and be the rock of the church. Because that's the thing. Sure, you're willing to die. But that's not what's necessary. And that's the other thing, like, we're not all called to be martyrs, but we are called to die to our old selves and take care of Jesus' sheep. We are called to live the life of God. We're not all called to die for Him, but we're all called to live for Him. And that's more important. We get that same command.
Hi. So, this DIY, it had a theme, but it also had another theme. So, the first one was, and then, which you've heard about. You heard about Peter's moments, his and then moments. And then the second one was Ireland. And now you're probably thinking, oh, that's where the flag comes in. Okay. So basically, they come on stage, and the first thing we see is we see a door. And on that door is an Irish flag. And we're all really confused. We just don't know what's going on. And then they start to explain. So we watched this movie Unseen. It's a short film, but it's based on this kid named Owen, and he's in Ireland. And the first scene, it cuts to him in a bathroom, and you see him sitting in a bathtub, and he has tears in his eyes and a handful of pills. And his grandfather comes in to fix the shower head, and that's the only reason he came in there. And so he knocks the pills out of his hand, and he said, you know what? No. You're going to come with me. We're going to fix the shower head together. We're going to fix what we can today. And that's a really big message about the whole really big issue that's in there. Across the pond, I guess is what you call it, in Ireland, there's a really big issue with suicide and depression. And part of it is because they're really disconnected with God. And you may think, they're like extremely Catholic, like there's castles and churches on every single block. Yes, but no. Over 90% of Ireland claim to be Christian, more so Catholic, and a shocking number that came back was only 40%, less than 40% actually attend church. And so there's a really big disconnect there. And so what MOVE wants to do, CIY MOVE, is they want to start a MOVE program in Ireland with this guy named Jasper. We met him, and he started working for MOVE this year, and his goal is to have a MOVE program started in the next 3 years. But the thing is, it's expensive. It's not cheap to get all these kids to come together, get all the food ready for all these kids, a huge venue, the speakers, all that stuff. And so that's where we come in. One of the days, the door, it had three locks on it. And one of the days, they were finally all opened. And inside were stickers. We thought it was going to be some giant sign that said, you need to go do kingdom work. But we opened it, and it was stickers. And these stickers are the MOVE logo, but they have the Irish flag on them. And each sticker represents $100. So what we're going to do is, a bunch of the kids in the youth group grabbed them, and we're trying to raise $100 per each sticker to send over to Jasper, so he can start his MOVE program. And that was one of the big themes, was pray for Ireland and help raise money. It was really powerful. After watching that movie, we saw the effects of depression and the lack of God in Ireland. So a bunch of us dedicated to doing it, and we're going to do it. We're going to do all sorts of events to get it, bring from our own pockets, donations are welcome. And so that's the whole Ireland. So now you can go, okay, the flag makes sense. Another thing, you may see them on the back of the chair in front of you or on your chair. They're little envelopes. And inside these envelopes are Kingdom Worker cards. Don't open them unless you really want to, but let me explain first. So around the fourth or fifth day of CIY each year, we get these little cards. Y'all's don't look the same, but it's okay. And inside these are Kingdom Worker challenges. Let me explain what Kingdom Work is first. So Kingdom Work, we're called to go and work for the kingdom, obviously. Yes, we're called to pray and to read the Bible and to love one another, but we're also called to go and act. And these cards are full of either spiritual disciplines, like drink water for a year, pray for a youth pastor, pray for the news. That's what I have. In my card, it says, every day, read the news, no matter how scary it may be, and you pray for the evil, and then you find a good story, and you share it with people. More cards are like, go into your community and do this. Last year, our card was host youth services, and we fulfilled that. But inside your cards, there are different challenges for you. I'm not sure what's in them. You're not sure what's in them. But if you open it, you're dedicating yourself to doing it. That's the CIY rule. We're called to act, not just sit here and pray about it. Yes, praying is good, reading is good, but acting is also good. And that's one of the major parts of CIY, is we go and become kingdom workers. We're trained to go and become kingdom workers. So we go out and we spread the love and all that he's done and will do for us. So don't worry. None of these things are like, go to Ireland, meet Jasper, and say, here, I'll build your CIY move for you. None of them are like that. But they are ways for you to challenge yourself, both spiritually and sometimes physically, depending on what you get. So don't be scared of the envelope. The envelope, it's not going to hurt you unless you get a paper cut, which I'm sorry, I'm not responsible. But don't be scared of this. None of us were scared. A bunch of us opened them the first night. Some people it takes years to open them, which is okay. You can wait. Open them up with someone. Don't just open it by yourself. Open it next to someone so you can be liable. They can hold you accountable for it. And so you can keep doing it and make sure that you're on the right track for it. Some of the kids here went to CIY, obviously. And we opened our cards as soon as we got them. Or we waited, and then we opened them. Or we're still waiting, and that's okay. But we took the challenge. So my question is, will you?
You know, the reason why I love working with middle school and high school students, there are lots of reasons. But one of the big reasons is because of the energy and the excitement and the enthusiasm that they have. And it's really cool to see teenagers who so often, I think, our society and frankly our church, our church as, you know, global church in general, looks at them and says, they're just kids. They, you know, they're the future of the church, but they're just doing their thing now. No, they're not the future of the church. They are the church right now. And I don't know what happens to us as adults, but sometimes we come and we sit in these seats and we just lose that enthusiasm. We lose that excitement for following after Jesus with a reckless abandon. And so my hope is that you would be encouraged this morning by these students, hearing their stories, hearing the things that they have to say, the things that they have to learn, the things that they learned. I hope that you will have conversations with them. So often as adults, we do all the talking to students about faith and what their faith should look like. You know what I think would be fantastic? If you grabbed one of these students and said, hey, let's go grab a Coke. Let's go grab coffee. Whatever. Let's grab a meal. And just sit and listen. Sit and listen to what God is doing in their hearts and their minds and how they're serving in their communities and in their schools. I guarantee you will be blown away, because I am every single day. We have a fantastic group of students, middle school and high school. And I am so thankful to be a part of a church family that loves students as much as North Point does. You know, Paul, in his one of his letters to Timothy, says to Timothy, he says, be an example to those around you. Don't let others look down on you because of your age, but be an example in your faith, in your actions, in your words, in all that you do. And that's what these students are doing. So I hope that you're encouraged by that, because I know that I am.